stream. Now, I didn't call it a creek like I know Justin would call it. I didn't call it a crick like we call it in Pennsylvania. I'm going to say it's a stream. And they went a little ways, and the boy said to the little girl, let's go wading. And the little girl said, no, Mama told me not to get dirty because she wanted to be nice for the party. So they walked on. And they came to an area where the stream was rather wide, and there happened to be a barn there. And the little boy said to the little girl, I got an idea. Let's take our clothes off and go swimming. Which they did. And he looked around after they took their clothes off, and he said, wow, now I know the difference between a Baptist and a Catholic. You didn't get it. You're asleep. See, the little boy, apparently one was Baptist, one was Catholic, and so forth. I'm not going to explain it. You should know the verse that is our theme verse. I'm going to quote it several times this morning. I have given a title that I hope we can demonstrate from God's Word this morning, faithfulness, operandus modi. That verse tells us, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. I shared that verse with our church family on Sunday morning on one of the rare occasions that I do speak now. And I reminded them it didn't say we have to be perfect. But it does say we need to be faithful. In fact, there's no perfect person in the Scripture except the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some characters that we may not find anything negative recorded regarding them, but it's still our responsibility to be faithful. I paraphrased that verse this way Sunday morning, and I'm going to go back and repeat it several times as it's in our Bibles, but I paraphrased it this way this past Sunday morning. Every believer is a steward which is required to be faithful. The word man there is not talking about gentlemen. It's talking about everyone. And the context, I believe, is funny things happen at these conferences. You didn't laugh at my joke, you can laugh at that. You and I are required to be faithful. I'd like to look at a character this morning in the Scripture, and you'll know the story. I'm not going to read all these chapters, but I want to take you back to the life of Joseph. Months ago, when Pastor Deere asked me if I would consider speaking, I didn't know I was going to be in this position. I'm honored and humbled to be here. Most of you deserve to be here more than I. You have been in the ministry or know God's Word better than me. But one person came to my mind when I knew the theme verse was, moreover, it is required of stewards. That's Joseph. I like Bible characters, and I often will do series on them. Years ago, and I don't think our associate pastor was in the church at that time, but I did a long series on the life of Joseph. I discovered recently that I had in my file a list of similarities between Joseph and Christ, 100 different similarities in Genesis chapter 37 to 50. I'm not going to go over those this morning. Joseph, I think, is a great illustration of faithfulness. Before we look at this, though, let's ask God's blessing because this is His Word. Lord, today we come to Your Word and we're humbled to have it in our own language, humbled to know how to read, humbled to know that it isn't like any other book. humbled to know that the Holy Spirit is present in our midst. I ask you today, Lord, that you direct us and help us as we think about this character by the name of Joseph. Help us to see similarities in our lives, and even if there are areas of weakness in our lives in the area of faithfulness, help us, Lord, to see it and to confess it and to be able to say, by God's grace, I am or I will be faithful. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to the account of Joseph in chapter 37 of the book of Genesis. And again, I can't read all of these chapters. I have many references written down. I will look at some of them. Many I will not look at. I do want to begin, though, here because I think it's important. The first part of chapter 37, Joseph, or Jacob, rather, dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph being 17 years old. Now, I want to stop right there. It's significant, I think, that God gives us his age. Yes, even young people can be faithful. But I see something else there that isn't written there that I have to think upon, and I did share this on Sunday, and I didn't speak on the same passage. I told Pastor Scott that I didn't want to have him listen twice to me in the same message. But I did say this: I cannot imagine the position that Joseph was in as a young man. I can't imagine the position that his father was in. He had four wives. I can't understand that. Thank God we have the policy in our country that doesn't happen. I can't imagine it. Here's a young man that speaks well of his father, though, I think. Because as you pick up his age here and we move on in this account, Genesis chapter 37 to 50, somewhere before age 17, there were some biblical principles of living a godly life and being faithful to God. Jacob somewhere had to instill that in his life. And I'm convinced that if anything's going to happen in our churches and in our families, grandpa, grandma, mom, dad, uncle, aunt, we have to do it. We have to be the one to instill those principles of faithfulness. And again, it's not saying perfect. We all have our weaknesses. The Burks know mine. My wife knows mine even better. But God calls upon us to be faithful. It's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Well, if you follow down through this account, and let me continue there in verse 2 for a moment. Joseph, 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now, there's something in that verse that tells me that not only in the aspect of Joseph's life did he learn to be faithful, but part of that was being obedient. Being obedient. I drove a school bus up until last year when I got hurt. I have had my school bus driver's license in three different states for 50 years. And I can tell you, in 50 years of driving school buses, there is a great difference on how children obey and don't obey. And sad to say, I haven't only seen it in my years in ministry only on a school bus. I've seen it in our churches. I've seen it in our homes. But here was a young boy that obeyed. He took his responsibility, and I'm so thankful that when I was a kid, I still am. But I'm so thankful when I was a kid, my parents There were seven of us. I was the oldest, and they instilled work ethic into my life. Too many kids don't have that today. Verse 3 here tells us that he was loved by his father, and we know that account. You know the Bible and this account as well as I. You've probably preached it or taught it in Sunday school or read it to your kids or your grandkids or told it to somebody else. Joseph had a coat of colors. Verse 3 says, Israel loved him. Jacob loved Joseph more than all his children because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Now, I don't understand that whole principle, except I do to a certain extent, because he was the son of the wife that he really intended to marry in the first place. But he had a coat of many colors. Verse 4, 5, 4 and 5, 8 and 18, and again I'm not going to read all these verses. While he was loved by his father, he was hated by his brothers. I can't imagine that, but I see that in too many homes. Now, a little squabbles between sisters or between brothers or brothers and sisters are not what I see here. This was literal hatred. Verse 3 and 10 here tell us that he had a great relationship with his father. And that relationship was more, I believe, as I've already suggested, more than just physical. I think there was that great spiritual relationship as well. Verse 5 to 10 suggests in this chapter, and let me just read the first verse 5 there. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. That dream, as I understand it, at least in part, was the reality that he had a relationship not only with his father, but with God. God could speak to him, and God did speak to him, and he wasn't afraid to tell the truth to his brothers, even though they hated him even the more. Well, not only do I see Joseph in these verses and in this account as the son who was faithful, and all of us are sons or daughters, and I guess we need to each examine ourselves, are we faithful? There's more to that in Joseph's life. There's more to these aspects of his faithfulness to his father, because he honored his father later, as you know, when he went and was the governor of Egypt. And he called his father and his brothers down and provided for them in the time of famine. But then in chapter 37, we come to the account that is interesting, And I'm trying to, what I want to do this morning is try to set us up some steps as to this young man's life and his faithfulness. Chapter 37, we also not only see him as the son, but the sufferer. Verse 34, he's obeying his father, he's taking food to the brothers that were away and so forth, and they see him coming. Here comes that dreamer. Here comes that kid we hate. What can we do with him? And they took him, verse 24, and they cast him into a pit. Now, there's nothing said about what happened as far as his attitude in that pit, but I'd like to suggest that even in the pit, Joseph was faithful. In the pit. Hey, I've been there. You've been there. We would rather walk on mountaintops and have mountaintop experiences. But I've discovered in the pit, in the valleys, that's when God can use me and God can speak to me. In the pit. Now, it wasn't what we might think of as a pit, I don't believe. I think it was a hole in the ground. It's quite clear that he couldn't get out of it. It wasn't a gravel pit. I'm not sure it was like the pit that we have in the book of Jeremiah where they cast Jeremiah, where there was muck and mire in the pit. I'm not sure of that. Some kind of a pit, a holding place. But there he was faithful. And verse 28, when he's in the pit, there passed there by Midian's merchant men of the Midianites. And they drew Joseph out of the pit and they sold him. None of us have had that experience. We haven't been sold as a slave, as it were. We haven't been sold and taken from our culture and sold or given away to become someone's servant. Joseph was, but he was faithful there. I've had the opportunity on a couple of occasions, and Lord willing, some more, to go to Africa and teach some modules with some of our missionaries. When I go, I come back, and my thought is, I just wish that I could take our church people to some of those countries and see the poorness of those people. But the love for Christ in those countries. I had a pastor on one of those occasions. His name was Pastor Happy, and he was happy. He was my translator in Togo and in Benin. And I had the privilege of preaching in his church. Now, a Baptist church in Africa isn't like a Baptist church in America. They don't have a piano and an organ. And I hate to disappoint you, but they do have a drum. It's not like our drums. It's just a hollowed-out log with a piece of leather on it, and they keep some time and rhythm for their music. If you think we sing, you ought to hear the Africans sing. And I remember in Pastor Happy's church, I had Pastor Happy, I felt like about this high. Here I am, the only white person in the church. Here I am, teaching, preaching simply from God's Word. Pastor Happy is taking my words in his pulpit and translating them to his people. And then I found out Pastor Happy gets $40 a month. That's his income. Can you imagine that? Pastor Happy was happy. I'd call that the pits as an American. Joseph was sold. Look with me in chapter 39 for a moment. And I'm not going to read these verses. I want to point out just a few things here and there in these chapters. After he's sold, he's taken as that slave. And you'll notice several times in his life, he's falsely accused. Chapter 39, verses 13 to 20 record one of those times. What do we do when we're falsely accused? Are we faithful? Do we fight back? I think as I read this account and study this account that Joseph was faithful. All through the text, and here's the secret, not only that Joseph had the privilege of having some godly upbringing at the hands of Jacob, but frequently you have this little something like this that's in chapter 39, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the... Now he's not in a pit. He's in prison because he'd been falsely accused. In prison, and I'm putting several things together here, but you know the account. He's in prison, and some prisoners, fellow prisoners with him, have some dreams as well, and he interprets those dreams. One was for the baker, and one was for the butler. And oh yes, like sometimes happens in life, oh yes, they promised him when they got out, hey, I'll speak good for you. But they forgot him. But God didn't. God didn't. Not only do we see in these chapters Joseph as the son and the sufferer, but chapter 39 and verses 2 through 4. Again, here it is. The Lord was with Joseph. Where was he now? He's in Potiphar's house. Interesting place when you study that character. Potiphar was Pharaoh's executioner. How would you like to be in that kind of a place? To know that here's the man that Pharaoh would use to deliberately cut the heads off of people that didn't do what he wanted him to do. But here's Joseph. Now, in our day, Potiphar probably would be a Muslim. Probably Joseph wouldn't have lived in our day except by the grace of God as a Jewish young lad. But the Lord was with him. Not only that, verse 2 there of chapter 39 said he was a prosperous man in the house of Potiphar. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight. Because Joseph was faithful. Moreover, it is required of stewards, even 17 years old, to be found faithful. Joseph was. You know the account in Potiphar's house. These verses tell us he became a servant. Not only that, but he becomes ultimately, and again, our verse in 1 Corinthians 4:2, it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Joseph was a steward as well as a servant. You know the account, he had limits on what was his to control. Basically, the text tells us, and you read chapter 39, Potiphar didn't even know what he had in his house. It's like a lot of houses, I know. My wife and I are having the privilege of, have pretty well gone through it now, but sorting out my mother-in-law's house. She had no idea some of the things she had tucked away in her house when she died. I'm convinced of that. Potiphar knew nothing that he had. He didn't know how much money he had in the bank. He wasn't in a position to even control those things. He gave that to Joseph. His wife, Potiphar's wife, tried to seduce Joseph, and you know that account as well as I do. And Joseph recognized that he had limits upon his job as a steward and as a servant. Here in chapter 39, notice with me the first part of verse 9, it says, "There is none greater in the house, Joseph tells Potiphar's wife, than I am. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife." Yes, in ministry, in the believer's life, who may be not a direct, as a pastor or a pastor's wife, it is required of stewards, that is, every child of God, to be found faithful. There are limits on what we can rightfully do to be faithful and to honor God. In my few years of ministry, it's been sad to see some men that God greatly used, to see them fall because they didn't recognize this area. It was Potiphar's wife. Everything else in his house, Joseph had control of. He could do with anything in his house that he wanted to, except for his wife. for Potiphar's wife. Notice what he says in the end of the verse. Verse 9, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. And he was. Well, she falsely accused him again, as he had faced before from his brothers and from others. And where does he go again? He winds up in prison again. Chapter 39, verse 22. Chapter 23, verse 23 in chapter 40 and verse 4. In prison again. Notice with me chapter 40, verse 4. The captain of the guard charged Joseph with other prisoners, and he served them, and they continued a ward in the season. Then the opportunity of dreams came again. And when we come to chapter 41, beginning at verse 33, now therefore let Pharaoh look out for a man that is discreet. This is when the dreams earlier were revealed. Seven fat cows are devoured by seven skinny cows. And seven stalks of corn are eaten up, good stalks of corn are eaten up by stalks that are worthless. And Joseph revealed the dream that there would come 7 years of famine. And here's where this account picks up in this verse where I began there just a moment ago. Find somebody, Pharaoh. Find somebody that is faithful. And Joseph discovers that Pharaoh turns to him and says, well, Joseph, is there anybody else besides you? Is there anybody else that can be found in our particular situation more faithful than we are? It is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. When we come to chapter 41, here we discover another thing, and again by divine purpose, I believe, we have in verse 46, his age is now not 17, but he's 30. So from the pit to the time that he's raised up to be the president, the one who is the secretary of food distribution, mind you, 13 years have come. And in 13 years, in different venues, he comes out as being found faithful, and now he's in a greater position because of his faithfulness all along the line. And all along the line, when he's asked, well, how could you do this? And truthfully, it's the same of you and of I. How can we be faithful? Not alone. Not by ourselves. It's only by letting God have the rightful place in our lives and giving God the credit for it. Joseph said, it wasn't me. I can't reveal the dream, Pharaoh, but God can. And he did. Joseph gave it to him. Well, Joseph had the responsibility then of becoming what I'm going to call the Savior. Chapter 41, toward the end of the chapter. Notice verse 57. All the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn because the famine was that bad in every land. The whole world at that time was looking to the one place in the world that had grain, something to eat, It was Egypt. It was Egypt. And that was true because of a young man, as we begin seeing him in chapter 37, a young man that was faithful. Faithful along the way. Faithful in proclaiming truth. Even when it hurt and it meant that he goes to prison or to a pit somewhere. He had what people needed. And might I suggest today, and I would think perhaps someone who follows me later today or tomorrow or Thursday will touch upon this, but you and I have a responsibility. You could carry that word steward and do a little word search yourself from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and you would discover in 1 Peter chapter 4 that you and I are stewards of the mysteries of the grace of God. You and I have a responsibility. And just like Joseph was the one as he grew and as he moved from step to step, and those pits and those prisons and Potiphar's home and all those things played a very important part in him becoming what he was and what he could do in Egypt, was because he was faithful all along the way. And he came to the place where he was able to provide what was needed for people of every land. You and I have that. It's not money from the United States. It's not weapons, and I'm not belittling any of these things. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have, and I don't know what we have for those that are serving in this particular capacity in our area, but we have the mission field coming to our country. Every country in the world has students on our campuses in our country. Are we doing anything about that? Do we attempt to have any kind of an outreach to those people in our country? We should have, I believe, as stewards of the mysteries of the grace of God. Well, Joseph had what people needed. You'll notice chapter 42, verse 6, not only he had what they needed, and I've already hinted upon this, but Joseph, verse 6 of chapter 42, was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land, and Joseph's brothers came. Now, his brothers are a different story. Interesting, and I was thinking upon this again. Interesting that it was a turnaround. They treated him mean, and when he sees them after 13 years, he treats them mean at first. He understood their language, but he pretended that he didn't. He had to keep going out of the room and weeping, and finally he had to reveal himself to them. But it's interesting, and I think it's important to note that he not only had what the people needed, but he reached out for every person. Even those that had treated him meanly 13 years ago, his brothers. Which suggests to me, and I found an interesting article in a book by Gary Inrid called Forgiven, or rather Forgiveness. Joseph had to come to the place, and you see it from beginning here in chapter 42 through the rest of the book, that he forgave his brothers that had treated him so badly. Faithfulness involves sometimes going to people that may have hurt us. In this case, they came to Joseph. And all along the line, and I like this account, They when they finally come to him and recognize who he is, Joseph says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. What would have happened if Joseph had not been faithful during those times when he was in the pit and when he was in prison? It is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. It doesn't say from 7 o'clock until noon. It doesn't say when you're 17 until you're age 30. Because as you follow the account, and you know the account as well as I do, Joseph was faithful to the end. In fact, when it came time finally to go back to Canaan, they picked up his bones and moved them. Because he'd been faithful. He'd been faithful. Sometimes God gives us opportunities that we may not understand. I don't understand why God brought into my life what he did a couple of years ago. But I've come to the place to say thank you. God knows what he's doing. God doesn't make a mistake. We might think of it as an accident, but God doesn't. Because we know that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Faithfulness should be the motive of every one of our lives. In the little things and the big things. I want to close with just a couple of simple things. First, my wife and I had the privilege of honoring her mother for 2 years. We had Mom Estes in our home. That's different than raising kids. It's not as easy as, if you haven't done it, some of you might think it to be. Mom had Parkinson's disease. She would choke a lot. She needed help bathing. I didn't help her with that, of course. The same time we had her was when I had one of my surgeries and then my second surgery, so my wife was really a nurse. Mom was a faithful pastor's wife. She was a gentle lady. I don't think she had an enemy in the world. We took her September 15th from our house to Erie to meet my wife's brother who lives in Columbus, Ohio. And Mom went to be with them. She was going to spend a few weeks to give us a little break. On September 22nd, Mom had a massive stroke. The doctor called and asked my wife, who had medical power of attorney, can we operate? And they did. A miraculous procedure that only that hospital that was available in Ohio that we knew of at that time at least, where they went up through her groin, up through her heart, to retrieve a blood clot out of her brain. He didn't know what would happen, but we left her in God's hands. The 22nd was a Saturday. The four kids were all there in Columbus, Ohio. On Wednesday, Mom woke up after sleeping many days. She could talk better than she had for many, many days, many, many years. She could sing, and she did. Toward evening, she began to fade again. And as my wife was getting ready to leave, she said this to Debbie. Debbie, I've always tried to be faithful. And Debbie said, Mom, you have been. When I get to the end of my life, I hope that can be said of me. And I hope it can be said of you. And then I want to close with one little simple statement. When we travel, my wife sleeps a lot, and I like to observe things. And on our most recent trip, I think coming back from Winston-Salem, I saw a little slogan on the side of a truck that has stuck with me. It wasn't I don't think any Christian kind of a company, but the slogan says this: the very best we have is the least we can give. Think about that. The very best we have is the least we can give. Doesn't that fit the aspect of faithfulness? Yes, it does. Oh God, we love you. You require of us faithfulness. We will have to not answer to men or to each other, but to you. Until you take us from this earth, either by death or by the rapture, may it be said of each of us, because our desire, our goal is to be found faithful as a steward of the mysteries of the grace of God. Continue to bless our lives in this conference and to create in us more of a desire to be faithful. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.